messianic prophecy is a very effective tool to witness. It told us where he was going to be born, how he was going to be born, through a virgin. Incredible prophecies that prove that God exists and that Jesus is the Messiah.
Proclaiming Jesus as Messiah, this is The Messianic Voice with Marty Zeid, the radio ministry of Midwest Messianic Center in St. Louis, an evangelical faith missionary organization helping to spread God's love to the Jewish people throughout the Midwest and beyond. Our goal is to help provide you with the tools you'll need to effectively witness to your Jewish friends and neighbors. I want to remind you to stay with us through the end of today's broadcast for information on how to receive some free resource material that we'd like to make available to you. But right now, let's rejoin Marty Zeid with A Messianic Voice.
Hello, and thank you for tuning in to the Messianic Voice program. We're coming to you from our headquarters in St. Louis, Missouri, and I'm so glad you've joined us. We are continuing on with our series that deals with witnessing and how to do it effectively to your Jewish friends. Before we actually get into our study, would you grab a piece of paper and a pencil? Because at the end of the program, I'm going to give you our address, and you'll be able to write into us because we are offering an excellent, excellent book that you would want to read for yourself, and also one that you could give to your unsaved friend, whether they're from a Jewish background or from a Gentile background, called The Case for Jesus the Messiah. And I'll explain a little bit more about the book later on at the end of the program. But I want to continue on. We are dealing with messianic prophecy. I do believe personally that this is a very effective way to witness to your Jewish acquaintance. And in our first lesson, we talked about how messianic prophecy establishes a good case for the authenticity of Scripture and also for the character of God. And the way that it sets forth a good case for the authenticity of Scripture is because when you take a look at some of these Old Testament prophecies that were written hundreds and hundreds of years, and in some cases like the Psalms and the prophecies that are contained in the Psalms were written 1,000 years before the Lord Jesus was born, and only God can do something like that, it sets forth a good argument that the Word of God is indeed what it says it is, the truth, and it is the Word of God. Another thing that we talked about were two reasons why messianic prophecy was very, very important, because it would make it easier to identify who the Messiah would be when he would come. And of course, when you take a look at those Old Testament messianic prophecies that we have in our Bible, the only person who even comes close to fulfilling the hundreds and hundreds of messianic prophecies is the person of the Lord Jesus. And second, it would make an imposter's task very, very difficult. There were people in the days of Christ when he was on the earth, and there are people today who claim to be the Messiah, who claim to be the promised one. There's only one problem. They're not fulfilling any of the messianic prophecies that were given forth in the Word of God. And so far, we've taken a look at a couple of them. We took a look at the fact that the Messiah was to be born in Bethlehem, Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. And we showed how this was fulfilled in Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 6. And as I stated last time, this is not one that you can stage very easily. There are some people who accuse Jesus of simply trying to stage his life based upon some of the verses in the Old Testament that they feel speaks about the Messiah. Well, you can't stage your birth. You don't have anything to do with where you were born. So that would be impossible. So we showed that that's a very important verse, that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. And of course, we know that the Lord Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Another messianic prophecy that we looked at was that the Messiah was to be born of a virgin. And clearly Isaiah 7:14 said that this would be a sign. And we really talked about the word virgin, the Hebrew word Alma, because sometimes it's translated virgin, as it is in our Bible. Some Bibles translate it young woman. And we discussed that it would not be a sign for a young woman to bear a child, because that's happening daily, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times all around our city, and certainly millions of times all around the world. But on the other hand, it would be a sign, a very special sign, if a virgin conceived. So we talked about Isaiah 7:14. Now we want to talk about another important messianic prophecy, and it's this, that the Messiah would be preceded by a forerunner. There are actually two very important verses, one in Malachi, last book of the Old Testament, and one in the book of Isaiah, chapter 40 and verse 3, that predicts the ministry of a forerunner for the Messiah. Let me read the two prophecies first. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 1 says, "Behold, I am going to send my messenger, and he will clear the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, and the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts." And then in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 3, it says, "A voice is calling, clear the way for the Lord in the wilderness. Make smooth in the desert a highway for our God." These two prophecies, the one in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 1 and the one in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 3, speak of John the Baptist. He was the forerunner of Jesus the Messiah. And the fact that God sent a forerunner was his way of preparing the people for the Messiah. It's important for us to remember that for 400 years, God had not been sending prophets to the people of Israel. The last time there was a prophet was 400 years ago, then all of a sudden John the Baptist burst upon the scene, and he is the first prophet to speak in 400 years, and he is now preparing the way for the Messiah. In the Gospel of Matthew and in the Gospel of Luke, the prophecy in Malachi is quoted. And as Jesus was teaching the multitudes, John the Baptist, who, by the way, was in prison, sent two of his disciples to Jesus to inquire of him as to his being the expected one. And he sent out two of his disciples to Jesus, saying, "Are you the one that we are supposed to expect?" And with the multitudes around, Jesus began to speak to them about the ministry of John the Baptist. And in the process, Jesus asked them many questions. You can read about this in Matthew chapter 11 and also in Luke chapter 7. In Matthew chapter 11 and verse 10, and in Luke chapter 7 and verse 27, Jesus quoted Malachi 3:1 and specifically said that John the Baptist was the one who fulfilled these verses as the forerunner for the coming Messiah. And also, in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, he quotes the prophecy that's found in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 3, while also alluding to the one that's in Malachi. So in all three of the Gospels, John the Baptist is seen as the one who fulfills these prophecies. And this is really amazing, considering the fact that the book of Malachi was written about 350 years before the Lord Jesus came, and Isaiah was written around 700 years before the birth of the Lord Jesus. So here we have these two prophecies, Malachi chapter 3 and verse 1, and Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 3, that speaks of the forerunner that would be coming upon the scene, who would precede and prepare the way for the Messiah. And those verses that you'd want to show in fulfillment would be Matthew chapter 11 and verse 10 and Luke chapter 7 and verse 27 and Mark chapter 1 verses 2 and 3. I mentioned last time that I think one of the good things that you might want to do is to have a piece of paper and a pencil by you to write down some of these messianic prophecies, and then you could transfer them over into your the flyleaf of your Bible. And if you do that, ask the Lord to open some doors for you so that you could share some of these with your Jewish acquaintances and your unsaved Gentile friends as well. And the reason why I say that is because messianic prophecy is a very, very effective tool to witness. Let me share with you another messianic prophecy, and this one speaks of his entry into Jerusalem. the special entry that the Lord Jesus had when he presented himself as king to the Jewish people. The prophecy is found in Zechariah, and it's chapter 9 and verse 9. Zechariah 9 and verse 9, it says, "Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and endowed with salvation, humble and mounted on a donkey, even on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Note the very specific details that are given concerning the donkey. And we find the fulfillment of this prophecy with the specifics of the animals here given to us in Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 through 11. And I'm going to take the time to read these verses to you because I want you to see how this verse, Zechariah 9 and verse 9, is fulfilled. So I'm going to read Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 through 11. "And when they had approached Jerusalem and had come to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, 'Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied there and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. And if anyone says something to you, you shall say, "The Lord has need of them," and immediately he will send them." Now this took place that was spoken through the prophet that it might be fulfilled, saying, "Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, gentle and mounted on a donkey, even on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden." And the disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them, and brought the donkey and the colt, and laid on them their garments on which he sat. And most of the multitude spread their garments in the road, and others were cutting branches from the trees and spreading them on the road. And the multitudes going before him, and those who followed after, were crying out, saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" And when he entered Jerusalem, all the city was stirred, saying, "Who is this?" And the multitudes were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." What an incredible, incredible prophecy. Jesus came to the Mount of Olives, and he sends out two of his disciples. He told them that they would find a donkey and a colt. And what were they supposed to do? They were supposed to untie them and bring them back to him. If they were questioned, they simply were to say that the Lord has need of them, and the owner of them would simply say, "Sure, go ahead and use them." And then the text goes on to say that all of this took place as a fulfillment of what the prophet had spoken. And of course, that prophet is Zechariah, and that verse is chapter 9 and verse 9. Why did Jesus need the donkeys? He used them for his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And as he approached the city, what were the people doing? They were crying out hosannas. And what they were quoting were some verses that are found in Psalm 118, verses 25 and 26, where it says, "O Lord, do save, we beseech thee. O Lord, we beseech thee, do send prosperity. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord." This was a very, very wonderful time as the Lord Jesus was presenting himself. And again, it's a fulfillment of a prophecy that was found way back in the Old Testament in one of the minor prophets, the book of Zechariah. So Zechariah 9 and verse 9, and the fulfillment is Matthew chapter 21, 1 through 11. Those would be some very, very good verses to show your unsaved friends. Here's another prophecy, and this is getting into some very important specifics. The one about his birth, the one about the fact that he would be born a virgin, how he was going to be preceded by a forerunner, his entry into Jerusalem. Now we're going to take a one that is almost a minor one in comparison, but it's a very, very important one tucked away for us back in Psalm 34 and verse 20. And it's that none of his bones would be broken. There's a prophecy here in the Old Testament that says that none of the bones of the Messiah would be broken. It says, Psalm 34 and verse 20, "He keeps all his bones. None of them is broken." And I believe what Matthew Henry said about this verse and how it aptly describes what many people feel when they read this psalm. And here's what he says, quote, "One would not expect to meet with anything of the Messiah here. And yet this scripture is said to be fulfilled in him," end quote. Again, this is a very obscure passage, kind of tucked away back there in Psalm 34 and verse 20. But what was a prophecy? That none of his bones would be broken. Listen to what it says in John chapter 19, verses 31 to 36. And again, here we are at the crucifixion scene. The Lord Jesus is hanging on the cross. There are two thieves, one on either side of him. It says, "The Jews, therefore, because it was the day of preparation, so that the body should not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for the Sabbath was a high day, asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away." And let me just stop here for a second. The reason why they wanted to break their legs is because it would hasten their death on the cross. One of the only ways that they were able to gasp in some air to breathe was to boost themselves up with their legs and take in a breath of air. Well, if they would break their legs, they wouldn't even be able to do that, so they would suffocate quickly and die. So it says in John chapter 19, verse 32, "The soldiers therefore came and broke the legs of the first man and of the other man who was crucified with him. But coming to Jesus, when they saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately there came out blood and water. And he who has seen has borne witness, and his witness is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth, so that you also may believe." And listen to this. "For these things came to pass that the scripture might be fulfilled, not a bone of him shall be broken." That is amazing. Here's this obscure passage back in Psalm 34 and verse 20 saying that none of his bones are going to be broken, and that's exactly what took place. Is this a coincidence that when they came to the one thief, they broke his legs? And when they came to the other thief, they broke his legs. But when they came to the Lord Jesus, he was already dead. And they didn't have to break his bones. They didn't have to break his legs. Was that a coincidence? No, it wasn't. It was a fulfillment of a very specific prophecy. Psalm 34, verse 20, and then those verses in John chapter 19. Good verses to read to somebody. And here's another messianic prophecy that we want to take a look at. The Messiah would be hit and spit upon. And again, this is during the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus. And we read in the book of Isaiah, chapter 50 and verse 6, we have the prophecy here, and we're going to see that these very things were fulfilled during his earthly ministry. But it says in Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 6, "I gave my back to those who strike me, and my cheeks to those who pluck out my beard. I did not cover my face from humiliation and spitting." So here is a prophecy that the Messiah would be hit and that he would be spit upon. This is during his crucifixion. This is during his time leading up to the cross. If you think about what this prophecy is saying, you can see that it deals with very, very small details. But nevertheless, they're very important, because once a prophecy is given, it has to be fulfilled. So the more the details that were given, the easier it would be to identify the Messiah. It told us where he was going to be born, how he was going to be born, through a virgin, how he was going to enter into Jerusalem, the fact that none of his bones were going to be broken, the fact that he would be preceded by a forerunner, and here, that he would be spit upon, and they would strike him upon his back. We find the fulfillment for this in the Gospel of Matthew and chapter 26. And I'm going to read verses 59 to 67. "Now the chief priests and the whole council kept trying to obtain false testimony against Jesus in order that they might put him to death. And they did not find any, even though many false witnesses came forward, but later on two came forward and said, "This man stated, 'I am able to destroy the temple of God and to rebuild it in 3 days.'" And the high priest stood up and said to him, "Do you make no answer? What is it that these men are testifying against you?" But Jesus kept silent. And the high priest said to him, "I adjure you by the living God that you tell us whether you are the Christ, the Son of God." Jesus said to him, "You have said it yourself. Nevertheless, I tell you, hereafter you shall see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore his robe, saying, "He has blasphemed. What further need do we have of witnesses? Behold, you have now heard the blasphemy. What do you think?" And they answered and said, "He is deserving of death." And they spat in his face and beat him with their fists, and others slapped him. Again, do you think Jesus is just staging all of this? No. This is not Jesus staging his life to fulfill these verses. These things are being played out because of the wickedness and the evil of these people who simply want to see the Lord Jesus eliminated. And in doing so, whether they knew it or not, they were fulfilling messianic prophecy when they spit upon him, when they were hitting him with their fists, and they were slapping him. They didn't say, "Oh, well, we need to be doing this because it says back here in Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 6 that I gave my back to those who strike me and my cheeks to those who pluck out my beard, and I did not cover my face from humiliation and spitting." They weren't thinking of that verse when they were doing this. They were looking for any way possible to get rid of the Lord Jesus. They simply wanted him dead. This is just a sampling of messianic prophecies. There are literally hundreds and hundreds more that are found in the Old Testament that find their fulfillment in the New Testament. And I want to mention a book to you. I actually told you about it already. The Case for Jesus the Messiah: Incredible Prophecies That Prove That God Exists and That Jesus is the Messiah. And one of the interesting things that John Ankerberg does is he gives what the rabbis believe these verses are referring to, and then he comes back and he shows how they are fulfilled in the person of the Lord Jesus, but also what the Bible says they really mean. That's why this book, I feel, is a very, very helpful tool. This would be a very good book to give to an unsaved Jewish acquaintance. If you work with somebody from a Jewish background, or you have a Jewish doctor or a Jewish neighbor, get one of these books, write to us, and request one. Let me tell you where you could write to. You could write to MMC, Post Office Box 6611, Chesterfield, Missouri 63006, and request one of the books. We're asking that you send in a donation of $12. This helps cover the cost of the book as well as a little bit of postage. But we want you to get one of these books and read it for yourself, because it will help you to see how effective messianic prophecy really is. We're going to continue on with our series, and we're going to talk about some other ways to effectively witness to your unsaved Jewish friends. But again, write us and ask for the book, The Case for Jesus the Messiah. You could also log on to our website, MidwestMessianicCenter.org. But if you want the book, write us at MMC, Post Office Box 6611, Chesterfield, Missouri 63006. Send in a donation of $12 and we'll get this to you. But again, write us and ask for the book, The Case for Jesus the Messiah. You could also log on to our website, MidwestMessianicCenter.org. We're asking that you send in a donation of $12. This helps cover the cost of the book as well as a little bit of postage. Write to MMC, Post Office Box 6611, Chesterfield, Missouri 63006. Well, until next time, may God richly bless you.
The Messianic Voice with Marty Zide is the radio ministry of Midwest Messianic Center in St. Louis. Our goal is to proclaim Jesus as Messiah and Savior to everyone, but with special emphasis on God's chosen people. If you'd like to know how to effectively witness to your Jewish friends and neighbors, or understand better what God's Word says about Israel and the Jewish people, check out the resources we've made available at our website. Simply log on at MidwestMessianicCenter.org. You'll find books, videos, and audio material designed to assist in your evangelism efforts and your personal spiritual growth. And be sure to request a copy of Evangelistic Magazine. Once again, our mailing address, MMC, P.O. Box 6611, Chesterfield, Missouri, 63006. You may also contact us by email through our website at MidwestMessianicCenter.org. We would love to hear from you and know that you're partnering with us in this very important ministry. Again, our mailing address, MMC, P.O. Box 6611, Chesterfield, Missouri, 63006. Again, you can visit us online at MidwestMessianicCenter.org. That's MidwestMessianicCenter.org. You may also contact us by email through our website at MidwestMessianicCenter.org. We appreciate you spending this time with us today and invite you to join us again next time as we proclaim Jesus as Messiah on The Messianic Voice.